Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911. Two-man car. My name is Jesse Romero, my wife Anita. It's not Tobias and Sarah. Well, it may be the modern Tobias and Sarah. Spiritual warfare. Remember, Tobias and Sarah, through their marriage, they were able to drive out the demon Asmodeus, who we reject, renounce, and rebuke in Jesus' name, from their house because they prayed together. Mm-hmm. So this is spiritual warfare, is praying together. Finding time. I'm not saying praying together all the time. I get it. People have their own particular styles and their particular devotions. But at least try to find time to pray once a day. At least once a day. And guys, don't be a sissy. Lead it. So I'm going to lead. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to do a spiritual communion prayer. I know a lot of churches are still locked up right now. A lot of people still, things are still not normal. And there's an old saying by the early church fathers. They say that when you bring in yesterday's grievances and worries and you bring them today, like you worry about what happened yesterday and the day before and last week, they call that morning demons. You're starting off the day with morning demons because you're bringing yesterday and last week's problems today. So how do you fight morning demons? I'll tell you the way you fight it. You fight it by prayer. You got to basically put the flag of Christ down in your house and say, hey, I belong to Jesus. So we're going to do a spiritual communion prayer, which is something we should be doing every single morning. My Jesus, I believe that thou art present in the most blessed sacrament. I love thee above all things, and I desire to possess thee within my soul. Since I am unable now to receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace thee as being already there, and unite myself wholly and entirely to thee. Amen. Another spiritual warfare prayer that drives out morning demons and yesterday's grievances is consecrating yourself every day to the Mother of God. And so we pray, my Queen, my Mother, I give myself entirely to you, and to show my devotion to you, I consecrate to you this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, most loving Mother, as I am your own, keep me, defend me as your property and possession. Amen. And then we should also start off our day, every single day, with a spiritual warfare prayer. And there's a minor exorcism prayer approved for all Catholics. It's called the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. And so we say, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, well, we want to jump into it. I want my wife to just share with us the first topic. It's, I know who you are, why demons are afraid of Christ.
Okay, this topic is written by Father John P. Cush. Also, I just want to say, good to be with you. And those prayers are coming from Jesse's book, Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle, and page 50 and 51. So next time we pray, you can join us if you have Jesse's book, Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle. So here we go. Father John P. Cush, he writes that he focused on the role of guardian angels in his last article, and particularly in the life and the ministry of peace and his trying time, in which, you know, in this trying time, he finds ourselves, all of us, you know, this time with the COVID and the insurrection that's occurring in our society. And this reflection on the guardian angels led him to then reflect on the Lord Jesus and his encounters with the demons and the fallen angels, whom he encounters at the time and again in his earthly ministry. So there you go. The Jesus in Scripture, there's at least 11 times where Jesus dries out the demons. So that's what he's referring to. But there's many more. That's just some of the Scripture verses there. So he recalls that a central message that Jesus came to bring is the proclamation of the kingdom of God. That's the main focus. He reveals this message of the kingdom of God in two ways, through words and deeds. deeds, and that's called justus verbisque, and that's in Latin, through words and deeds. God's word is most intimately is his incarnate word, Jesus Christ our Lord. It is Jesus who is himself God's word made flesh for us and for our salvation. You know, Jesus is a word, and that's what we call our scriptures. He is the word, Jesus is the word, who was in the beginning before all else. And there and through him, all things came into being. As a prologue from John's gospel remind us, he is the creating, saving, and redeeming word.
Let me mention something about the prologue. It's still at the end of the Latin Mass, they still pray the John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, which is, that's also a section in Scripture that's used in the official rite of exorcism to drive out demons. They don't like John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, because it talks about who Christ is, the divinity of Christ, the deity of Christ. And so it's still used today. It's still part of the Latin Mass, and I wish it would have remained with the Novus Ordo Mass as well. But Father Kerr says, driving out demons is an action that the Lord performs in all of the Gospels. However, in a few accounts of this action, which is one of the key ways that the Lord uses to demonstrate the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, we learn of an interesting detail. The demons know who he is. They, like Peter, in his confession in Matthew 16, indicate clearly the identity of the Lord. The demons say, "You are the Son of God." And although Luke's gospel does not have St. Mark's messianic secret, which the messianic secret basically means, where Jesus is basically saying, don't say anything about nothing to nobody until I tell you. But we clearly read that the Lord rebukes the demons also in Luke. He doesn't permit them to speak. Now, the Lord doesn't allow the demons to announce who he is, but why does he do this? Perhaps it's not only because his time has not yet come, but also because the kingdom of God, both in biblical times and today, can only be announced by words and actions. By the way, that's a theme that James the Apostle brings up later on, that you were saved by words and actions. And that's also very Jewish. If a Jew would ever hear a Catholic and a Protestant debate at the Reformation, where the Protestant would say we're saved by faith alone, and the Catholic would say we're saved by faith and works, what would the Jews say? Jewish rabbis have always said you're saved by faith and works. So it's very interesting. The rabbinical thought on salvation is the Catholic thought, faith and works. Another thing, the demons have knowledge of the identity of Christ, and it terrifies them. They know that the long reign of sin is ended, and that the broken world will soon be restored. They know the facts, but they don't have the faith in the power of Christ that should come from that knowledge. And these fallen angels, warped by pride, twisted by avarice, were angels, and they have seen the face of God, and they've still chosen to turn away.
And with this in mind, a question for our reflection. If the demons can recognize Jesus, why can't we? Just think about that. If they recognize Jesus, why can't we recognize him? Why can't we see Jesus? We are blinded to his presence among us, refusing to recognize that he is powerfully standing in our midst. Everywhere we look, he's there. But we fail to see him. We have blinders in our eyes. We have scales in our eyes. We suffer from a kind of spiritual myopia, and we need to have our vision corrected for us to see Christ. Yes, we need to have the fact-based knowledge of who Jesus is, but it can't simply remain at this level. This knowledge that we have of Christ must compel us to see Christ in every situation, and then, inspired by this new vision, we are called then to be Christ to each other. So remember, it's not, you know, if we just have a short-sightedness, that's what myopia means, short-sightedness. We don't really know Christ. We have to go further and bring him into what's what's this devotion of the month of devotion, Sacred Heart, into our heart?
Something also important, though, the Father says that we should see Christ in all places and in others. If everybody from Antifa and Black Lives Matter really lived this out, if they see Christ in others, the riots would stop like yesterday, okay? But they don't see Christ in others. They're fueled by pure hate and anger, which is one of the, you know, two of the seven deadly sins that the devil uses against our fallen nature. But Father goes on to say, he says, so how can we make this move from mere acknowledgement of who Jesus is to adherence and faith to Christ and allowing him to change our lives? Well, one way to do it is morning prayer, calling Jesus into your heart and mind in morning prayer, like the spiritual communion prayer, the daily morning offering. You got to call Jesus spiritually right as you get up in the morning. These are some of the best ways where you can start acknowledging Jesus as Lord in your life. Make sure, especially in the month of June, do you have a Sacred Heart of Jesus somewhere in your house in a prominent place that's been blessed by a Catholic priest? If you don't, again, that's another place, another way to recognize Christ as Lord in your house. But how can we best move beyond just saying factually, as the demons do, I know who you are, and truly striving to know who Christ is, the Holy One of God? We're going to talk now next about, is the devil real? Absolutely. These are spiritual insights by Father Gabriel Amorth. Rest in peace. You're listening to Jesus 911, two-man car, Tobias and Sarah. Look at our mugs here, okay? Virgin, most powerful mugs. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Soul Patrol, two-man car, retired cop, retired nurse. What's the best way to drive out a demon from your house? Pray together with your spouse and lead the prayer, guys. That's exactly what Tobias and Sarah did in the book of Tobit. Just read chapter 8, and you'll see that's the way to do it. Praying together. Guys, lead the prayer. Don't be a sissy. want to talk a little bit about an interview that was done years ago with Father Gabriel Amorth. It turned into a book, and he gives us spiritual insights on, is the devil real? Now, for those of you that don't know, Father Gabriel Amorth was the most well-known exorcist of our time, dedicating decades of his life to minister to countless people. Along with his ministry as an exorcist, Father Amorth offered his insights through numerous interviews and numerous books that are still helping people today and will help people until the second coming of Christ. We're going to go through the following section of a book from Father Amorth's an interview that was done, and it's collected in a book. It's called The Devil Is Afraid of Me, The Life and Work of the World's Most Popular Exorcist. And so here's question number one.
Okay, the first question. They say that one should not speak so much of the devil. Is the devil spoken of too much? He answers, Pope Francis spoke of the devil in his first 10 discourses, and he speaks of him often. Furthermore, he has consecrated the Vatican to St. Michael the Archangel in order to defend it from the evil one. But apart from this, the devil is not spoken of too much. It is necessary to do more. All priests should speak of him continually. How many of you actually hear the word the devil in homily? You know, all of us could say that very, very seldom. So I believe this surgence of those, of the lady that are talking about demonology or actually angiology, I think that's why it's more popular.
Second question. So many, even in the church, do not believe in the action of the devil. Why is this? So these are questions asked of Father Gabriel Amorth. He says, this is so. They do not believe in the existence of the devil or his actions, but I insist on an extremely strong phrase spoken by Jesus Christ in Matthew 12, chapter 30. Who is not with me is against me, close quote. Since Satan is against our Lord, it is as if he is saying, who is not with me is with Satan. There are no half measures. Either one is with Jesus or one is with Satan. And even if one believes a little in the devil and does not believe in the words of Jesus, one is with the devil. Scripture, especially the Gospels, and the fathers of the church speak repeatedly of the devil and of his action in the world. By the way, if you want to see the devil's action in the world, just take a look at what's happening right now in the different riots in the cities. That's the action of the devil in the world. And there's two teams on planet Earth. The Bible is very clear. In fact, I'm going to grab the verse right now. It's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. Here's what it says. I'll read it right from Scripture so you don't say, well, just you're making this stuff up, okay? You're pulling rabbits out of a hat. No, I'm not. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible says, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother or sister. Very clear. Two teams on planet Earth. You got the children of God and the children of the devil. You turn on the television and you look at people that hate their brothers. You look at people out there who are doing evil, who are not doing right by the sight of God. What does the Bible call them? Pretty simple. Calls them children of the devil. Does it mean that we just consign them to hell? We also have to pray for their conversion. Obviously, we have to, as Our Lady of Fatima said, a lot of people will go to hell because a lot of us are not praying and fasting and doing penance for them.
You know, I'd like to add something to that. Many people say, "Well, I'm a good person. Yeah, I don't go to church, but I'm a good person. I pay my taxes. I pay my bills." But by default, you're serving Satan. If you're not serving Christ, you're serving Satan. So there you go. There is the line of demarcation. There it is. So it's one or another. And I love the fact that Father Gabriel Omorth had described this. Just this is what it's what it is. You serve Christ or you don't. You know which team you're on. So we'll continue with our next question. Why does the devil still rage in the world, since the world has been consecrated to Our Lady, who has asked the people to fulfill the practice of the first Saturdays of five consecutive months? He answers, the world is under the action of the devil because the world is far from God. The people do not confess their sins. They do not go to church. They do not believe. Few put into practice these devotional acts. They are a minority. This explains why the devil tramples man in the world.
In other words, there's not enough prayer power. I'm going to make it simple. And this way I'll paint a picture in your mind. Both sides open their mouth. Those that believe in God, we open our mouth to praise God, to worship God, to pray to Him. And so our prayers go off into the air, as the Bible says. Psalm 141, our prayers go into the air like incense, okay? Now, when bad people are cussing and swearing and doing curses and maledictions and blasphemy, their words go up in the air too. So both of us, good people and bad people, followers of Christ, sons of God and sons of the devil, are projecting words into the air. Some of us are projecting the sweet aroma of Christ. Some people are projecting the diabolical into the air, okay? And they call this in the military airstrikes, okay? That's what's called an airstrike. When you call a plane that's flying with a bomb over the enemy and you tell them, okay, drop it over here. That's called an airstrike. Prayer are airstrikes because who's in the air? Angels. Our prayers are carried by angels. Where does it say that? Tobit chapter 14, Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 8. Our prayers are carried to God by the angels. That's our airstrikes. And by the same token, demons are also in the air. So these people from Antifa and Black Lives Matter and politicians that say bad things and bad stuff come out of their mouth, they're also empowering the diabolical. It's for them, it's giving the diabolical ammunition. And so Father Kirsch says in this article, not enough of us are praying. And think about that, okay? So somebody could probably say, well, just give me a criteria. How often should I pray? I'll make it very simple. You should be praying every time before you eat, okay? Always grace before meals. So that's at least three times a day there. And then morning, midday, and evening, okay? As the Bible says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, we're supposed to pray three times a day, morning, midday, and evening. And then your three times before meals, that's six times a day. That's a lot of airstrikes. You're throwing a lot of prayer power up in the air for the angels to take to God. And so, again, the article's convicting a lot of us, or maybe all of us, we're not praying enough.
We continue with the next question. Several persons complain of being victims of curses and of not being able to liberate themselves from the effects of the spell that these produce in their lives. Can there be curses then that are not concretized in possessions? His answer: a curse always becomes a vexation, and exorcisms are done even if there is only a vexation, which is an evil influence. That's what a vexation is, which is an evil influence. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is clear: an exorcism is done even when there is no possession. But some exorcists, if they do not see that there is possession, do nothing. They are mistaken. There is a vexation. If there is a vexation, that is, an evil influence, the Catechism says that an exorcism should be done.
So the next question is, can the demons manifest themselves in dreams? Father Gabriel Omorth says, rarely, but it is possible. One recognizes it from the fear that it causes the person, but if one invokes the name of Jesus or Mary, it goes away. And by the way, I know I've talked to hundreds of people, myself included. Once you have a nightmare, and that a nightmare doesn't come from God. Once you have a nightmare, once you start praying, I mean, it takes a little while because sometimes you got what psychologists call sleep paralysis. Not sleep paralysis. It's diabolical obsession and diabolical oppression. But as soon as you start praying and calling the name of Jesus and Mary, you'll fight through it a little bit. You have to fight through it, but it'll go away. And so the next question for Father Amorth is...
And when someone has been subjected to a spell, other than following a correct sacramental life and getting exorcisms or prayers of liberation, what else can they do? Okay, here's his answer. Heartfelt forgiveness toward the one who did this evil is a basic requirement. If there is no heartfelt forgiveness and one is subjected to exorcism, God does not liberate. At times, I am made to understand that the exorcisms on a particular person are not having any effect. And I ask this person, have you forgiven the one who did this evil to you? And they'll answer, no. And then enough with the exorcisms. One must at least make an effort to pardon the one who has done evil to us. So there you go. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, those prayers are going to be blocked. You need to have forgiveness. That's what it says in the Our Father. We recite that, at least all of us, or most of you that pray every day, at least once a day. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And if you pray the rosary every day, which you should, you're saying it five times a day, at least in the rosary. Yeah. But it's very interesting, that section that Father Gabriel Amorth just said, yeah, I know this one person, and no names need to be mentioned. Me and my wife know this one person who was fully possessed. She had undergone many sessions in Mexico, some in Guadalajara, some in Southern California, Los Angeles. We helped out with some of the sessions in California. She wasn't getting any better at all. So she'd already been through about 12 or 13 sessions of exorcism, of being prayed over. And I finally, after one session, she was crying and she said, they're not going away, they're not going away. Jesse, what's happening? And I said, do you hate somebody? She goes, yeah, I hate my ex-boyfriend. I said, okay, you're wasting everybody's time until you forgive. She made a good heartfelt confession, general confession, went to the Blessed Sacrament, got on her face, asked her penance on her face, and the demon left. And she was completely liberated. We'll be back. Jesus 911, two-man car, retired cop, retired nurse. Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.CovenantEyes.com. Code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing at least and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. Take a look at my coffee cup, okay? See that? Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And behind it, it's got the St. Michael the Archangel prayer, so you can drink your cup of coffee every morning with the Virgin Most Powerful Radio cup, and then at the same time, you say the St. Michael the Archangel prayer. We're talking, Father Gabriel Amorth has given many interviews, and a lot of them have been put into books. He was the Roman exorcist for about 29 years. He passed away about 5 years ago. May he rest in peace. He actually started the International Association of Exorcists, and it exists to this day. And we're looking at some of the more poignant questions that he was asked, and he talked about in the last section that we talked about the importance of forgiveness. Forgiveness is an action that occurs through the action of the Holy Spirit, but it's also your free will. It's also an act of the will. The person has to do this, and you know what? Even good confessors will tell you, before you go to confession, ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me make a good confession. And even after confession, you can say, Holy Spirit, give me the grace to do a good penance. So it's always the Holy Spirit in us that's trying to take us deeper. But let's go on to the next question.
Yes. Okay. The next question. You often speak of the importance of consecrating oneself to Our Lady, the Virgin Mary. Do you renew your consecration in your daily prayers? His answer. Yes, I do it daily. It is not an obligation. The important thing is to put one's life and all one's actions under the protective mantle of the Virgin Mary, entrusting oneself to her, trusting in what the Lord sends us. She said, let it be done unto me according to your word. That's our Blessed Mother. And you know what? Every morning, Jesse has a prayer in his book, Lord Prepares My Hands for Battle. And this is a prayer you can get anywhere. It's called the Consecration of Our Blessed Mother. Why don't we pray that prayer so then they know that's a prayer consecrating your day to our Lady. And it's actually on page 49 on Jesse's book. If you have your book, open it up so you can pray with us together as we pray. My Queen, my Mother, I give myself entirely to you. And to show my devotion to you, I consecrate to you this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, most loving Mother, as I am your own, keep me, defend me, property, possession. Amen. And there you go. There's that beautiful prayer, consecrating your life to our Blessed Mother.
And I'll tell you why consecrations to Jesus and Mary in the morning are very important on the spiritual warfare side. Here's what you're doing. You're getting up, you're starting a new day, and it's like an army, okay? Going into a country, and when they conquer a country or a land or a territory, what do? They put their flag there, okay? You put your flag there. What have you told? You've put everybody on notice. Guess what? We just conquered you. This belongs to us. That's the theology of consecration prayers in the morning. What you're doing is you're putting the devil and demons, that they're all around us, you're putting them on notice. You woke up, okay, you brush your teeth, you put your flip-flops on, and you did a prayer to Jesus, a consecration prayer to Jesus, the morning offering, you know, take and receive all my liberty, some type of consecration prayer to our Lord and our Lady. What you've done, you've put a Jesus flag in your house, in your bedroom, and you've told Satan's and all the demons all around you, you've put them on notice. You're saying, guess what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. That's what you do. That's the theology of morning consecration prayers. You're putting the enemy on notice. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Mary. I'm protected by them. You can't, as there was a song years ago by MC Hammer. You guys, some of you don't know who he is. There's a song that goes, "You can't touch this." That's what you do when you're doing these morning prayers. You're saying, "You can't touch this. I belong to Jesus and Mary." That's what you're doing. Okay, I'm getting silly here.
Here we go. Okay, the next question. Yeah, theology, absolutely. It was wonderful, honey. The next question, could you say something about the use of sacramentals in exorcism? The questionnaire continues as, "I am referring to water, oil, and blessed salt." And he says, his answer, "Some sacramentals, such as the imposition of hands and blessed oil and salt, have always been used during exorcisms, unlike blessed water, which entered into use more recently. It is important to emphasize that these three sacramentals act like all sacramentals, according to the power of faith." You know, that's the key. That's the key, is faith, not superstitious, the of faith. If you have faith, there you go. There's the power. And where does the faith come? Christ. Christ, the faith in Christ, not in the actual object, but a faith in Christ. Whereas the sacraments act ipso facto, that means sacraments are efficacious solely if used for and with faith. Okay, there you go. We just spoke about that. For this reason, it is important that the faithful know how to use the sacramentals correctly. It makes no sense to keep large quantities of blessed water, salt, and blessed oil if one does not have faith. Each sacramental has its own characteristics. The prayer in Latin clarifies their meaning. These three sacramentals are used to liberate us from the influence of the demon. The blessed salt, for example, gives special protection to places. Father Candido recommended putting a little bit of blessed salt in a room that is considered infested.
Father Candido was Father Amorth's training officer. He's the one that, when he was the veteran exorcist in Rome, when Father Amorth was just coming up, and he was his basically Batman and Robin. He's the one that broke Father Amorth in and taught him how to be an exorcist. And it's very interesting. The blessed salt, I mean, this goes all the way back to the Old Testament, using relics and sacramentals. But my wife is very good about this because we just came from Texas. We were there for two and a half days, giving a parish mission. And we walk into the hotel room, and my wife whips out from her purse. "Here, honey, here it is, blessed salt." Yeah, she hands me the blessed salt and the holy water. And so, I bless the room, and I do deprecatory and imprecatory prayers to drive the demons out of the room and to bless the room. And my wife prays along with me. But again, she just kind of knows what's important. We walk in the room, push the door in, put our suitcases in, and out comes the blessed salt and the holy water. And she knows what I'm supposed to do as a man as we enter into that room. Because, again, without a doubt, these are public places. There's demons that are in all these public places that are just infesting these places. So as a Catholic, you go in there with your blessed salt, your sacramentals, your imprecatory prayers, because that's yours now because you've rented it for 2 days. So you have authority over that room. You can drive them out. Anita, what else does Father Amorth say about blessed oils?
Okay. And I also like to include in my little war bag of holy tricks there. I have a picture of Our Lady and Saint Joseph and a standing crucifix with a little candle, the tea light candles, and that I turn it on. I place it right where the TV's at, and that's my little, I place my little sanctuary there, and I turn on the TV light after we finish our prayers. And there you go. We have it. That little tea light is on all till we leave, and turned off the morning that we leave, or whenever we're ready to take our bags. So that's something you might want to do when you travel. Have your own little prayer kit there. Okay, so we're going to continue on with the blessed salt, blessed oil. I'm sorry. The blessed oil has a power. This continues with that same question. I'm referring to the water, oil, and blessed salt. That's the question.
Of Father
Amorth. And he answers, the blessed oil has the power to cure ills and chase demons. During an exorcism, I use the first ritual, which includes the possibility of anointing the possessed with oil. I anoint the five senses, the forehead, eyes, nostrils, throat, mouth, and ears, tracing on the possessed the sign of the cross. I repeat, a gesture must be done with faith in order to be effective. There's two Russian saints whose names he didn't recall, chased demons by anointing the afflicted, the possessed person, with blessed oil. They were not exorcists. They did not use the ritual, but they were saints. They prayed and they chased the demons. And, you know, I want to share something with you. I'm having some issues with my knee. So this morning I said, you know what? I'm going to get the blessed oil. And I used the oil and I rubbed it and with signs of the cross on all four sides of my knee, because I'm just it's a challenge for me because it's really slowed me down with some of my daily activities. But you know what? I give it up to the Lord and I have faith that it's going to get healed and we're going to move on. It's not going to stop me from evangelizing, right? Here we go. So then the blessed water. He says, blessed water is used for blessing places and persons. One can also drink blessed water, but with faith, taking little sips. Some of the principal effects are liberation from the snares of the evil one and protection from him. Also, for us exorcists, it is worth recalling Christ's announcement. Quote, those who believe in my name, they will cast out demons, end quote. Consequently, if a priest has the authority to do exorcisms and to act in the name of the church, it is because he has faith. Faith in what? Christ. When I find myself administering an exorcism, I always ask the Holy Spirit to come to my aid. Without him, my intervention would be fruitless.
Listening to Jesus 911, two-man car, Tobias and Sarah, no, Jess and Anita. How do you drive demons out? You got to pray together. That's right in the Bible. The sacrament of marriage drives them out. Guys, you have to lead it. Don't be sissy. We're going to talk next about how St. Philip Neri defeated the devil's attacks. Stick around. Don't turn that dial. You don't want to miss one though.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, retired LA cop, retired LA nurse. We're modern-day Tobias and Sarah. What does that mean? We're married. Christ is the center of our marriage. We pray together. And we know that the power of matrimonial prayer, according to the Bible, led by the man, drives out demons, keeps you protected from the diabolical. Let me share something with you about St. Philip Neri, then I want to give you some more spiritual warfare theology and some other topics. So, St. Philip Neri, he was a holy priest during the 16th century who was widely known for his sanctity. And after his death, The effectiveness of his ministry even gained him the title of Second Apostle of Rome, showing how much he positively influenced that city. However, his activity did not go unnoticed by his fiercest enemy, the devil, and Satan tried with all his might to tempt and to scare St. Philip Neri away from his apostolic activities. I'll let my wife share the rest of the story.
Satan tried with all his might to tempt or scare St. Philip away from his apostolic activities. For example, Pietro Giacomo Bacci explains in his book, The Life of St. Philip Neri, quote, "So bitter was the devil's hatred toward Philip that whatever he prayed or performed, any action at all of a religious nature, he almost always endeavored to disturb or to annoy him." The average person may have been frightened by such attacks, but St. Philip stayed calm and knew exactly what to do. One night when the saint was praying, he appeared to him with a terrible aspect in order to frighten him. But on Philip's calling to his aid, the Queen of Heaven, the evil one, instantly disappeared. Another time the saint had retired to a sort of a platform above his room, the demon, not being able to do him any other mischief, splashed his clothes all over with dirt. And another time he tried to injure him by causing a plank to fall upon him. And when the saint was ill, the devil used often to put out the light, which was kept burning in the room. These episodes would happen on a regular basis, but they didn't dissuade him from pursuing holiness. Instead, he knew exactly how to defeat the devil. And remember, all of us, we're always encountering opposition throughout our day. So, you know, we just have to keep hopeful and focus on Christ and the Queen Mother. That's what keeps us going all day. I don't know if you've noticed that, everybody. I know I have. So many a time also Philip would say, "The devil tried to frighten me last night, but I recommended myself to the Most Holy Mother, the Madonna, and she delivered me." He didn't rely on his own strength and power, but on God's, especially through the Virgin Mary's intercession.
And Father Amor says, this correlates with experiences of exorcists who have repeatedly said how the devil hates the Blessed Mother. She's the ultimate example of faithfulness to God and is a thorn in the devil's plans. St. Philip knew this well, and whenever he was tempted, he flew to the Virgin Mary for help and was never disappointed. By the way, if you all like what you guys are hearing on Jesus 911, then like us. Hit that little like button. Also hit the subscribe button and share this show with others. There's so many people out there that are getting misinformation about the preternatural. And they're getting it from television, from all these you know, ghost hunter shows, they're getting bad information, or they're getting partial information from Protestant deliverance models. That's a half truth. They got so much wrong. So if you want Catholics to know the truth about Catholic spiritual warfare, and we emphasize that on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays here on Jesus 911, if you like this show, if you guys are learning a lot from this show about authentic Catholic spiritual warfare, then like, hit the like button and hit the subscribe button as well, and share this show with others. Here's two other saints that also, again, Christ-centered and Marian devotees. I have them in my book. It's called Lord, Prepare My Hands for Battle. It's on page 104. Here's what St. Teresa of Avila says. She's a doctor of the church. She says, why shouldn't I have the fortitude to engage in combat with all of hell? I took a cross in my hand, and it seemed to me truly that God gave me courage, because in a short while, I saw that I was another person and that I wouldn't fear bodily combat with the demons. For I thought that with the cross, I would easily conquer all of them. So I said, come now, all of you, for being a servant of the Lord, I want to see what you can do to me. There was no doubt in my opinion that they were afraid of me, for I remained so calm and unafraid of them all. All the fears I usually felt left me, even to this day, for although I sometimes saw the demons, I no longer had hardly any fear of them. Rather, it seemed they were afraid of me. St. Teresa of Avila. What's the context of this letter? She wrote a letter to a fellow nun saying that her fellow sister asked her, why do you get up at midnight and leave the convent and walk into the night? She said, I go to cemeteries at night, at midnight, and I go and take a cross and I go and pray against demons. I go and do deliverance prayers. That's the context of that letter. Again, Christ-centered. Spiritual warfare is not demon-centered. Don't become fascinated with the diabolical. They're nothing to be, they're losers. They're nothing to be fascinated with about. They're fallen angels or demons. They're on their way to hell. Be fascinated with Christ. Be fascinated with Our Lady. Those are the only two powers in the world that have full authority over demons. So do the apostles. And their successors have full authority, the bishops, and the bishop can grant that authority to particular priests. We call those priests exorcists. Here's one more story. St. Faustina, it's on my book, page 104. She was doing a holy hour, and when she was coming back from her holy hour, here's what she says. After the adoration, halfway to my cell, that's what they call their rooms, they're so small, they call them cells, I was surrounded by a pack of huge black dogs who were jumping and howling and trying to tear me to pieces. I realized they were not dogs, but demons. One of them spoke up in a rage. Because you have snatched so many souls away from us this night, we will tear you to pieces. St. Faustina answered, if that's the will of the most merciful God, tear me to pieces, for I have justly deserved it. Because I am the most miserable of all sinners, and God is ever holy, just, and merciful. To these words, all the demons answered as one, let us flee, for she is not alone. The Almighty is with her. And they vanished like dust, like the noise of the road. While I continued on my way to my cell, undisturbed, finishing my thanksgiving prayers and pondering the infinite and unfathomable mercy of God. St. Faustina, paragraph 320. Okay? This is just like St. Philip Neri, St. Faustina, St. Teresa of Avila. These are demon-chasing saints. What do all three of them have in common? I'll tell you what all three of them have in common. They all live in a state of grace. Bingo. I just gave you the answer. How to live in victory over the dead. They all live in a state of grace. They're all serious, have a serious prayer life. And number three, they have a serious interior life. In other words, they choose lives of purity, lives of order, lives of cleanliness. They live ordered lives, clean lives, and lives of fidelity. This is what makes you like a castle, a mighty fortress against the diabolical. I'll give my wife a couple of seconds to say whatever she wants.
I just wanted to add that she also, I think she demonstrates her humility here, because in this sentence she says, "Tear me to pieces, for I have justly deserved it, because I am the most miserable of all sinners, and God is ever holy, just, and merciful." There she demonstrates her humility to God. That you have humility, that drives demons away.
That's why St. Anthony of Padua, he says the two things that demons fear from when they see a human person, if they have the virtue of humility and the virtue of charity, love of God, love of neighbor, and humility. Those are the two greatest virtues that protect you against the demon, the diabolical. And that's why we recommend, me and my wife, we recommend that all of you, every single night, pray the Auxilium Christianorum prayers together. Guys, don't be a sissy. Lead it, okay? Don't act all tough because you lift weights and you go punch the bag and stuff and you go and do CrossFits. You know what makes you tough before God? When you lead your wife in prayer, okay? And so start praying the Auxilium Christianorum prayers together. I would recommend that you look at the link that says requirements. Make sure it says, are you living in a state of grace? Are you going to frequent confession? Are you praying the daily rosary? There are requirements, but especially Friday's prayers is where we pray the litanies of humility. My wife could tell you how much she didn't like those.
Yeah. My first little prayer book besides the Bible was the Beata. And that book, at the end of that little prayer book, I loved all the prayers. And when I came to that prayer just, you know, it really startled me, because I thought, wait a minute, how can I, you know, ask for that others may increase and I may decrease, and all those other sentences that come along with humility. So that was a struggle, but it's because of where I was at in my spiritual journey. I wasn't mature. I felt, and then now I know, I look back and I see that there, you know, I have matured, and I pray that every day, and I love that prayer. That's one of the my favorite prayers.
Awesome. If you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, share this show with others. This is Spiritual Warfare every single Friday from Anita and Jess and Anita, Tobias and Sarah. And once again, St. Padre Pio says, pray hope and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful and God will hear your prayer. And also remember that we're called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. Up next, we got the big guy, the largest Catholic apologist in the world, Gary Machuda. Yeah, he could have played in the NBA if he was a little bit younger. Gary's up next. He's broadcast from the Midwest Command Center. And stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics. He's one of the greatest apologists in the world today. We're blessed to have him here on Virgin Most Powerful. Well, signing off. 10-7, we're out of service. L.A. cop, L.A. nurse, now ambassadors for Christ. We're out. See you next time. Same Christ time, same Christ channel.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.